Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today is an open mic day. That's right. So you're going to be able to call in at any time during this hour. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, today is New Year's Eve Day, and my goodness, we're going to be welcoming in a brand new year tomorrow. Well, actually at midnight tonight. And I'm sure that you've got special plans and there's all kinds of wonderful things on television for people to watch. But I think one of the greatest gifts we ever can have is recognizing that it's opportunity for us to embark, whatever our challenges may be, embark upon a new direction if we so desire. And so I'm sort of going to appeal to that theme a little bit today. But I want to give out the phone number, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to start off with a quote this morning by Walter Lippmann, because I really think it brings home what I would call a reality. And I like the way he phrased it. He said, "I do not despise genius. Indeed, I wish I had a basket full of it. But yet, after a great deal of experience and observation, I have become convinced that industry is a better horse to ride than genius. It may never carry any man or woman as far as genius has carried individuals, but industry, patient, steady, intelligent industry, will carry thousands into comfort and even celebrity, and this it does with absolute certainty." Industry. Now, automatically, when we think of that, we think of business, right? Manufacturing, something like that. But when someone is industrious, it means that they're working. It means they have a commitment. It means they are going to do their due diligence, whether it has to do with getting physically fit or they're going after a dream of theirs. An industrious person is typically a productive person, and they're not necessarily going to waste their time with what I call a lot of fluff stuff. And many times that fluff stuff is distraction. And I had the opportunity yesterday, I wanted to share this with you, to visit a business. This is a restaurant. This is an Asian restaurant listed number one of 10 top restaurants in the world. And I went in there, and here is this restaurant. It is packed. We're talking about a few hundred people. The din of noise was phenomenal because everybody's talking a mile a minute. Food is being put out, and these are all kinds of different Asian dishes. It was an Asian restaurant. And I looked at the joy that was in the face of these people. Of course, it is the holiday season, but it was the environment of communication over food, and food that was really very, very good. And not only was it good for you, but it was hot. Everything was freshly prepared. And I watched this, and I observed what was going on. They had to have had about 20 to 50 waiters and waitresses that were moving in and out of the kitchen like, oh, my goodness, like people that should be having a little horn going, toot, toot, here I come. I mean, it was just amazing. They were just so efficient, carrying items, putting them on the table, taking care of the orders. When you walk up to the restaurant, they show you how they make these little dumplings and how they twist them, and it's done so fast. It's just incredibly fast. And there must have been at least 20 people inside this viewing space that you could see putting together the food. Absolutely amazing to watch. Industriousness. I relate that to industriousness, but it has to be organized. It has to be planned out. There has to be the planning of how much food are you going to need. How do you work those numbers? How do you make the evaluation? How do you become committed to something like this where you are serving literally thousands of people a week, coming in, going out, coming in, going out? Well, all of this takes hands-on learning, but it also takes something else. It takes commitment. And as we're coming into this new year, we're just hours away from a brand new year, I'd want to pose a question to you. What kind of a commitment have you given to yourself? I want to say that again. What kind of a commitment have you given to yourself? So many times when New Year's rolls around, we say, well, I want to make $1 million, or gee whiz, I want to do this. We all have little lists that we can put together. But in my observation, it is the commitment to oneself that really has to come first. And the reason I say that is because if you do not have a committed level of integrity for yourself, I don't know how you're going to be able to do anything for anybody else. I really mean that. And that involves, you might see, an art of selfishness. But at the same time, it's so important for you to realize that when you make a commitment to yourself, you might not think twice about making a commitment to a friend or a neighbor or a member of your family. Boy, I've got to do this for this other person. But you're not, if you don't make a commitment to yourself, to your own health, to your own education, to the awareness of what really is most meaningful to you, not somebody else's dictates, but what is really meaningful to you. If you don't take care of that, if you don't honor yourself, then you're going to find yourself maybe becoming resentful, very angry, not getting things done, putting things in priority positionings where you feel frustrated, you become disillusioned. Why? Because you have not made a commitment to yourself. And I can remember being taught for so many years, oh, you have got to be out there serving everybody else. That is your job. That's what you're supposed to do. And when I was 27 years old, there was a gentleman I was dating that made a comment to me, and I'm just going to summarize it quickly. He just said, Donna, you have to be one of the prettiest doormats I've ever known in my life. And if you want me to wipe my feet all over you, I'll be happy to do that. Well, I was stunned. Nobody had ever said that to me. And I was not very happy with the comment. But he didn't mean to hurt me with the comment. He wanted me to wake up. He wanted me to wake up to my own potential. And this was his way, and this was his manner. And I've shared the story more in depth with people, with literally thousands of people from all over the world. And the reason I say it is no matter what your cultural background is, no matter whether you're male or female, it makes no difference. What makes a difference is that you have to honor who you are and respect yourself. And the industriousness that brings what we want in our lives into our space comes from that. And sometimes it means that you sacrifice. Sometimes you may have to walk a road alone. Sometimes you may find yourself having to invest in environments that maybe you would never think of. But you must have a commitment to yourself. So with this new year, I hope that you'll take time to do that. And one of the tools, and I have to thank a friend of mine, Cindy. Cindy and I did a appearance this year. It's not 2013 yet. But it was done, no, it was last year, excuse me. It was during December of last year, 2011. We were doing an event, and I had the opportunity to spend some time with her the day before the event, and she said, Donna, let's do a vision board. And I said, oh, my goodness, I don't remember the last time I did a vision board. She said, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we make a project? So Cindy and I sat in a room, and we were chit-chatting back and forth, and we had magazines of all kinds stacked up beside us. And we started clipping things out of magazines and just were putting a little bit of this on, a little bit of that on. And our time ran out. We did it for a couple of hours. And what happened is that it really spurred me when I came home, because my vision board, the beginning of my vision board, came with me. And I really found it fascinating how during the following month, there were things that came into my mind and levels of awareness that I had that made me realize that this vision board was a very, very powerful thing. Now, I had it in front of me on a daily basis, and sometimes I'd actually look at it, sometimes I wouldn't. But to my amazement, I found many of the things on my vision board that I had put out had manifested in ways that I had not expected. I had thought when I put down a certain image that meant a lot to me, it was going to manifest in a particular way. Well, it didn't. It manifested in another way. And I will share one of those points with you. I had put images of cruises. I love to cruise. Don't have the opportunity very often, but oh, I just love to cruise. As it turned out, we were gifted a cruise, and we finally were able to take advantage of that gift, and that was in September. And I had totally forgot about what I'd put on my vision board, and I happened to be looking at my vision board a couple of weeks ago as I was tidying some things in my office, and I looked at that, and I went, oh, my goodness. I had a certain thought process in my mind, but I ended up taking a cruise, and it had been a gift. There were other things that I had put down relative to writing, relative to business and to work, and I found that it did manifest. But it manifested in a way that was different than I had anticipated. Remember, you're not always going to be able to control circumstances. And sometimes the universe has a better way of bringing you your good than what you possibly could have imagined. And I looked at that and I said, now, isn't that interesting? So I'm going to be working on a vision board tomorrow. And I'd like to encourage you to consider doing the same thing. Why? People are visual, general. You can think and you can do all kinds of stuff, but there is something about that conscious application of cutting something out. It's like dealing with paper dolls. And maybe you guys aren't so interested in doing that, but there is a connection between the action of cutting out what might be part of a vision. Maybe you want to be debt-free. All right, put that on your vision board. See yourself making a tremendous amount of money. See yourself being happy. Maybe you want to travel. Maybe you want a new computer. What is it? You don't know how things are going to come into your life. You don't know how you might be gifted by the universe in some way. And when we see things and we look at them and we say, well, I don't know exactly how this is going to come into my environment, and you let it go, it may come in interesting ways, but let me share a little thought with you. There was a man that wanted a BMW. It was a particular model. He posted pictures of that BMW all over the place. That car he wanted. Well, the day came when he went on to eBay and he found this BMW, which would, with all of the bells and whistles that he wanted with it, would have cost him a fair chunk of change, well over $65,000. Well, he didn't have that kind of money. But he really wanted that BMW. He wanted it in a silver color. He, you know, had the whole visualization there. He ended up with a BMW. He found this woman that had had one. She didn't drive it, and it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And he said, I finally got my BMW, and he got it for literally hardly anything in cost. So he gets it, And what happens is he finds he doesn't have the means to take care of it. So this beautiful BMW is sitting in his driveway, but he's not able to afford the cost of maintenance. And not only that, but he's finding that what he has to pay out in gas is more than he anticipated. And what he did not project is that he would be able to afford this vehicle. So just a little afterthought. When you're looking at something, if you want whatever it may be, ask that you will be in a position to be able, one, to afford it, to be able to have it in your life so it serves your highest and best purpose and good. Life is really a fascinating turn of events. And a man that was really wise about this was Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill has been a mentor for me through the years. I treasure his books, especially his original manuscript, The Law of Success. And I encourage you to add it to your library because I think you'll be able to go back to the book many times as I have. But he's also got a book called Think and Grow Rich, which is just as valuable. And it is all of the what he felt were most significant points out of his original manuscript, The Law of Success. And, of course, Think and Grow Rich is still just as successful today as it was when it came out. And I have in front of me a paperback book that is held together with Scotch tape, and it was published in 1960. And this book, its pages are brown because the paper that they used at the time was a very cheap paper. And as I open to the third chapter of the book, there's a quote that I think is very viable. Here we are, New Year's Eve Day. And the quote is, "There are no limitations to the mind except those we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offspring of thought." Let me read that again. "There are no limitations to the mind except those we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offspring of thought." Those are very, very powerful words, since if you think about it, everything has to begin with a thought. Everything. There's nothing around us that hasn't begun with a thought somewhere. And Napoleon Hill spent over 20 years researching successful people. And Carnegie was a man that had challenged him and asked him if he was really interested in finding out the truth about what success really is. And Napoleon Hill said, "Oh, yes." Well, he committed 20 years of his life to this research. His family was against him. Constantly, he was bombarded with criticism as to this being a waste of time. And he said, "This was one of the best things I ever did." And when he finally presented the manuscript to Carnegie, Carnegie was so pleased, because he said, "You've captured it." Now, in the process of doing the research and developing his understanding, Napoleon Hill had to go through a lot of stuff, just like we all do. And he recognized how we can induce our minds so that we can recognize, appreciate, and receive the bounty that life wants to give us. And this is what he said. He said, "Have faith in yourself, faith in the infinite. Faith is the eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought." Faith. It's the starting point of all accumulation of riches. It's the basis of all miracles and all mysteries which cannot be analyzed by the rules of science. It's the best antidote for any kind of failure. And faith, He called it the chemical which, when mixed with prayer and belief, gives one direct communication with infinite intelligence. It transforms the ordinary. The vibration of thought created by your mind into a spiritual equivalent, and it's the only agency through which the cosmic force of infinite intelligence can be harnessed and used by man. Some very, very powerful thoughts. So, self-suggestion. What can you do? What you want to know, first of all, is that you can achieve your objective purpose, whatever that may be. And your purpose may change at any given time, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to know that you can achieve it. So you want to be persistent. You want to be industrious. You want to put continuous action towards your attainment of whatever your purpose is. And you need to make a promise to yourself that you're going to do that, regardless of what appearances might be. You want to keep in charge or be alert and aware to the thoughts that you have. You want to make sure that you put your mind, your thinking process, into a productive environment. Don't put your mind's attention into that which is not going to serve you. And you need to know that any principle of thought that you persistently hold in your mind, it's eventually going to create an expression of one kind or another. So you want to have self-confidence in yourself. If you're constantly beating yourself down, you're never going to go anywhere. If you feel that life always has to be hard and ugly and dark, you're never going to be able to see the light because you don't even want to open up to that, because your consistent thought is that this is the way things are. You're not putting power where it belongs. Put the power of thought where you want it to be and write down a clear description of what you feel you want as an objective of accomplishment. And above all, be true to yourself. You don't need to lie, cheat, and steal to attain what you want. And believe in yourself. And whatever it is that you want, Napoleon Hill had a suggestion. He would write it down on a small piece of paper. I'd use something the size of a business card. And repeat it. Read it to yourself 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times a day. But realize that your dream belongs to you. And that's where visualization board, too, can help a great deal. This is Donna Sebo. This is an open mic day. If you would like to call and chat with me, I would be delighted to do that with you. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I have a wonderful story. Oh, before I forget, tomorrow, New Year's Day, we are going to have a Best of Donna because I, along with the rest of you, will be enjoying the day with family and with friends, and I'm really looking forward to that. So we are going to be doing a repeat of last Friday's program, which is Bankrupt at Birth, and I think you'll find Joe Mason's information. If you missed that show, I think you'll find it really, really interesting. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Carl Helvey. Now, this man is in his 70s, and he has come out with a book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer. This is absolutely a must-read, as far as I'm concerned, for anyone that maybe has a loved one with cancer, because this man, over 39 years ago, found a way to beat what was considered a death verdict. So we're going to be talking with him on Wednesday. Carla Brandon, we're going to be discussing heavenly hugs, experiences that people have had in life that really have enabled them to see that life is a lot more than what you see on a news broadcast. And then a favorite person of mine that I just absolutely am thrilled to be able to have on the air again, Teresa Tapp. She's going to be on with us this coming Friday. And Teresa, I have been using her exercise program for 5 years. I absolutely love it. I swear by it. And she is one of the finest people you'll ever want to meet. And she is going to be telling us how we can begin our new year affirming and demonstrating that we can feel physically fit. We don't have to kill ourselves in the process. And if you're like me, you have a very busy schedule, you're not able to go spend hours at a gym, well, by golly, you're going to find out you can look great. Male, female, it doesn't make any difference. She has got a response, an answer for you. This woman walks the walk. So we're going to be starting off the new year this week with good information on so many different levels. I invite you to join me and also share it with your friends, because it is just going to be absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Now, I know so many of you are going to be doing hors d'oeuvres this evening, and maybe you're rushing around at the last minute. Well, sausage in a blanket has so often been a consistent regular at parties that I've attended, and it's never been something I've been particularly excited about. However, somebody came up with a different way of fixing it that I just think is incredible. So I'm going to be sharing that with you later on. Also, I'm going to be sharing with you a story this morning about an amazing gift of love. And this has to do with finding lost family members, a woman's journey and what she did. It is amazing. So all of this and more, I am going to be sharing with you this morning. And if you wanted to give me a call, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. Well, it is that New Year's Eve day, and I am just wondering what other things we are going to be able to experience in this new year. Well, it's unlimited, isn't it? There's just about all kinds of things that we can have going on. But what is it that with resolutions, what do we seem, this is a pattern. Well, this is what I'm going to do. The three top resolutions are so frequently losing weight. That is absolutely amazing to me. It's consistent. It's been year after year after year in the mentality of us here in the Western world. Losing weight, exercising, and quitting smoking. Those are the top three resolutions. My husband was just talking with a friend yesterday whose teenage daughter has a challenge with smoking, and she's trying to kick the habit. It's very, very common. Those are the three components. So what can you do with this? Well, I have some tips that I will share with you that will empower you to do this. And also, you need to know that 2013, if weight is a big issue for you, well, you're going to have some tips that I'll share with you today that's going to allow you to see how you can trim down. You don't have to go on any kind of real extreme program. It's not necessary. I had someone saying, oh, gee whiz, this is what you've got to do. You've got to starve yourself, so on and so forth. I've heard them all. Doing this show for going into my 12th year, I can tell you there's more diet plans out there than there are people. And everybody has recommendations. Well, we're all very different, and we need to honor and respect our bodies. But there are some tips that I'm going to be sharing with you. So when we come back, I will be telling the stories, also sharing tips with you for the new year, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So you're welcome to also call in at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, it's New Year's Eve day. Let's get some good stuff out to you, first of all. And I was chatting about this tip before we went on break. I've talked about the vision board, doing the ICANN plan. Well, let's ask some questions of the self. Why is it important to me to make XYZ resolution? Will my life be better if I do it? If I achieve what it is that I desire? And if so, why? So if you're focusing on weight, which Lord knows, just about everybody I know is always saying, oh, I've had so much stuff to eat. Ooh, those brownies. You know, I had all of those brownies, and I've had the candy, and I've had the cookies. Well, after a while, you really get saturated. And I don't know about you, but it's like, let's chuck everything, put it in the freezer. I love freezers. You can put everything in the freezer, whether it's a credit card or anything else. Put it in the freezer. And then sort of get it out. But I know we're all going to be going to parties. But I do think that a suggestion that was put out by David Maxfield, he said there are three keys to making rewards work, because he said, okay, you need to reward yourself. He said you need to reward small steps. Don't wait for the finish line. Make your rewards frequent. Acknowledge your weekly progress. And don't wait until the end of the month. And use a variety of rewards so that they won't get stale. Now, a reward doesn't necessarily mean you go out and spend $100 every time you feel like you need to reward yourself. Of course, if you've got the financial wherewithal, who gives a hoot? But it's something you need to ask yourself. How do you reward yourself? What do you do for yourself? And maybe it's spending an hour or two with a friend. But think again, what is it that for you makes you really feel very special? And for the guys, it may be going out and playing an extra round of golf. For the gals, it might be going to a spa or giving themselves a bubble bath. Whatever works, you need to find out what your reward would be. And if you find you get cravings, I found out about a tip that really surprised me. And that is, if you find the temptation of a bunch of goodies, let's say you're putting yourself on a food plan, tap your temple with your index finger 10 times. What it does, it distracts you. Frankly, I find the best thing when it comes to goodies is just not to have them around. I've got a girlfriend. She did fabulously on Weight Watchers. She just looks absolutely awesome. And she has a teenage kid. And she said, I'll tell you what, if you want candy, you want dessert, we'll go out somewhere, but you don't bring any of that home, because her willpower is next to zero when it comes to sweet things. She said, mm-mm, I don't want it in the house. She said it to her husband. That's it. We'll go out someplace. That way I can have a bite of something, but I don't want the temptation in the house. And if you, like many people I know, you're saying, I want to get rid of all white sugar, all white flour in my house, don't have it in the house. Don't have it in the house. Have your substitutes in the house. It really does take making a commitment to yourself. But, you know, just be willing to recommit yourself. If you fall off the wagon, or if you find you've flubbed up and you're not keeping your direction and whatever your commitment to yourself is, all right, say, okay, that's it. Now I get back on to what I need to do. Because we're always going to have distractions. We're always going to get upset with ourselves, but don't beat yourself up. If you want to, set a timer and just say, okay, that's what I did. I'll give my 15 minutes to really beat up on myself and say, oh, this, and this. After the 15 minutes, I'd suggest making it 5 minutes or less, but whatever makes you feel good. And then when that timer goes off, okay, that's enough of that. I'm back on track again. It's just the shift. Someone once said, if you find your mind going in the directions and it's not in the direction you want to go, use the word shift. Brings you back to the present. You shift and you put yourself where you want to be. There was a delightful, or is, not was, there is a delightful lady named Betsy. And Betsy was adopted. She didn't know anything about her family, but when her birth family, but when she was 6 years old, and someone that knew her parents saw her, she smiled at her and asked Betsy, well, where'd you come from? Where'd you get that gorgeous red hair of yours? Well, she had been very much loved by her adopted family. They let her know she was adopted, and she said to this woman, I am adopted. She was very, very proud. Yet even as a little girl, when she said that, and she really loved her parents, there was still a question, where did I come from? And she found herself, as she was growing up, looking for someone that had that copper red-colored hair and wondering, where did I come from? Because my hair and my skin tones, everything, are very different from my family, obviously. But it didn't bother her that she was adopted. What bothered her was that she didn't know her origin. So she lived in Ohio. She grew up to become a nurse. She didn't obviously know when she was born. She didn't know anything about her mother. Nothing. So she became very, very curious. When Betsy was 25 years old, she came across a book called The Adoption Triangle. And this was a book that examined adoption from three different angles: the birth parents, the adoptive family, and the adopted child. It was a very emotional book for her to read. I should rephrase that, say it was a very emotional experience for her when she was reading the book. And she said she realized that there was a part of her that was missing. Now, she'd been loved by her adopted parents. There was no question of being loved. But she didn't have that piece of information about her own history. Well, in this book, it gave tips on how to do an adoption search. And she went and filed a background information form with the agency that had done her adoption. And she also joined a national support group, and she wanted to get her original birth certificate, and they enabled her to find out what processes could be utilized to get it. Well, she opened up the envelope, which contained information that she had requested, and she found out her mother's name. Her mother's name was Victoria Faith Boyer. And she said, wow, oh, that's my name. She thought it was her mother's, and it was really her own name. She said, what a gift. Victoria, Victory, Faith, her center, you know, her middle name. Now, she saw her birth mother's address on the original birth certificate, and she happened to be able to discover a yearbook that featured a picture of her mother, and she said, oh my goodness, I look just like her. Well, she decided she was going to do some more homework. She was going to find her birth mother. As it turned out, 26 years later, she is able to find her birth mother. And her birth mother said, I've been waiting for this. And she asked her daughter, do you have red hair? And then her mother said to her, and her mother's name was Edith, she said, Bob is going to be so happy. And Betsy said, well, who's Bob? And Edith said, that's your father. That's your birth father. She said, at the time you were born, I was far too young to take care of a baby. I just knew, and he knew, that we could not do what we needed to do to give you a good home and to be able to provide for you. Now, as it turned out, her birth mother and father ended up getting married, and they had three sons. But she said, I gave you your name, Victoria Faith, because I wanted you to have a positive life, and I knew you would with that name. As it turned out, they ended up getting together, and Edith brought picture albums and told her stories about different people, about her family. Well, of course, Betsy now has a second family, and her adopted parents just welcomed Edith and Bob. There was no hard feelings. There was no resentment or anything else. There was a lot of joy with both of these families coming together. So she said, I really have found so much fulfillment and joy and was able to get a missing piece of the puzzle that was in my life. She said, I want to do the same thing for others. So Betsy founded the Adoption Network, and I suggest that you write this down if you know of anyone that's going through this kind of a search, because I think Betsy's organization is just wonderful. It's called AdoptionNetwork.org. And one of the people that Betsy was able to help, her name is April Martin, and when she gave birth to her baby, it was 1967, and it was a time when unwed mothers were labeled in the ugliest ways. In fact, for so many generations, a girl, if she got pregnant, just was literally considered trash. Many times families would force her to either have an abortion, which was illegal until Roe versus Wade came in, and a lot of women died because of that. But also they were forced to give up their babies. And there were a lot of very unpleasant circumstances and a lot of children that never knew their birth mother or father. But by golly, there was this woman, April Martin. She was forced to give up her baby. Her mother said, you just can't take care of it. So she ends up giving it up. But April was always upset with herself. She never forgave herself for giving away the baby that she had because she'd really wanted to keep it. Well, by golly, when she found out about the Adoption Network's Mother's Day event that they had put on, she decided she was going to become a part of it. She did. They worked with her, and she found out where her son was. And he was 41 years of age when she found him. And he sent her a beautiful Mother's Day card as well as calling her, wishing her a happy Mother's Day. And she was able to get back in touch with a son she had been forced to give up. One woman's experience, Betsy Norris, has affected almost 2,000 people's lives. They have been able to find the loved ones that have been lost to them through the years. She said that I can help so many people put the pieces of their lives together. Well, it's an amazing gift of love that makes me smile every single time. Now, one of the things that you need to do if you are adopted or if you know of someone who has this piece of their life that's missing, you want to be sure that you protect the privacy of the individuals that you are trying to find. And she said you want to be sure that you try variations of names, their first and middle name or their first and maiden name, because she said a lot of people, even with the open social networking system we have today, won't use their original names. And she said there's a lot of databases online, and many are not typical search sites. And she said, you can check out missingmoney.com type the person that you're trying to locate, their name and home state, into the search, and it'll list any addresses that may be ascribed to those people. And if you find an address and you want to know that that person is still living there, she made the suggestion, send a postcard or a letter to whatever address is listed and write address correction requested, do not forward. And that way the post office will return it to you with the person's new address. So those are some tips from Betsy. A gift of love that changed Betsy's life in a big way. And now almost 2,000 other people's lives have been changed because of one person. One person makes a difference. That's you. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic. Safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. A reminder, tomorrow we are going to be doing a replay of last Friday's program. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about how you can beat lung cancer, then Heavenly Hugs on Thursday, and T-Tap on Friday, getting us in shape for the new year. So keep that in mind and join me, because I would love to have you with me. Post holiday sales. My goodness. If you love to shop, this is the time to do it. There are so many phenomenal sales going on now after New Year's. January has always been big on sales. But if you want to get the deep post-holiday discounts on clothing, electronics, and any other kind of merchandise, check out the websites of the stores. They have Facebook and Twitter accounts. You'll find alerts about the flash sales. New term for me, flash sales. Stores often hold these during non-peak times to get more customers to come in. And also, the online-only deals. More and more people are shopping online. They just don't want to be out in the crowds. Coupons you can print right at home and you take them into the store. And don't forget to bring in your gift cards, because big sales are happening. And if you've been given a gift card, you'll be able to stretch those dollars even more than you considered. And keep in mind, a lot of stores, they know that the gift cards are not going to be used. So people are buying these gift cards, and whoever receives them, they're not using them. Or it has an expiration date on it. So you need to be aware of that. If you've got a gift card, make sure you know what the expiration date is on it and that you use it before it runs out. It's amazing how many millions of dollars is never utilized by that person that was given the gift. Oh, and if you're interested in a lottery ticket, I've got some information by Michael Loiser, who says there is a way that your odds can be increased. So I'll share that with you. But I mentioned a food often at parties, New Year's Eve parties, Christmas parties, you name it, all kinds of parties, especially where you're serving hors d'oeuvres, football games, this type of thing. One of the popular items is sausage in a blanket. Well, to me, sausage in a blanket was just boring. I never, ever thought it was exceptional, and it just didn't have any flavor. Just this little puny sausage wrapped up in a little bit of pastry. And I just, oh, yuck, who cares? So I never really ever was interested really in eating them after the first couple I had. And this goes back years ago. But I found this recipe that's going to create a burst of taste flavor, and people are going to say, this can't be pigs in a blanket. It just cannot be pigs in a blanket or sausage in a blanket. It is. So let me share with you this recipe because it's so easy. You're going to want 6 to 7 very thin slices of cheddar cheese. And I really mean it needs to be thin. And I would say there's prepackaged extra thin cheese, but I like the real, real sharp cheese, and it just really gives that special oomph. So try it, and if you have something that can slice the cheese especially thin, then that's what you want. And you need about 6 to 7 very thin slices. You're going to need 2 packages of fully cooked chicken and apple and or Cajun-style sausage. So if you want spicy, great. If you want the apple, turkey, you know, any of those that are fully cooked, they're already pre-cooked anyway. You're going to need 8 links. And you're going to need a can of a Crescent Recipe Creations refrigerated dough sheet. And Pillsbury puts one out. And it's about, half a pound. And it's just one can of that. You're going to need an egg. And you want to have that at room temperature. And you want to beat that in a small bowl. You're going to need a teaspoon of fennel seeds, if you can, crush them. And you're going to need 1/2 cup of whole grain mustard. And this is the kicker, 1/4 cup of peach preserves. This is really a flavorful sausage in a blanket. This is how easy it is. Your oven needs to be preheated to 375 degrees. You want to cut your cheese slices into 3.5 by 1 inch strips. And, you know, if you have to piece it together for crumbles, because your extra sharp cheese can be crumbly. And you want to put that to the side, maybe put a piece of wax paper over it while you're working the other stuff, put it to the side. You want to cut each sausage crosswise into 3 pieces, and then you want to take a jelly roll pan, a baking pan, and you want to spray it with cooking spray. Or you can use parchment paper if you want to do that. On a lightly floured surface, you want to take your dough sheet, and that's your crescent dough sheet. And you want to roll the dough sheet into a 12 by 8 inch rectangle, lightly brush it with some of your beaten egg, and sprinkle it with the crushed fennel seeds. Then you cut your dough lengthwise into 8 1-inch strips. Cut each strip crosswise into 3 pieces, each 4 inches long, and top each dough piece with 1 strip of cheese, then 1 sausage piece. And your cut sides are to be facing out. You roll the dough around the sausage piece, and you stretch the dough just a little bit to cover it completely and press the ends together. Put it seam side down on your pan and or your parchment sheet, and you brush your dough with the remaining beaten egg. Break it 10 minutes, and then your mustard and preserve you mix together, and you serve it with your sausage roll. Oh, this is good, and you can double, triple this recipe. It is absolutely marvelous. So that is just sausage in a blanket that is a little bit different than what anybody else fixes. Okay, going to start a new year. Maybe you want to win a lottery. Michael says you need to observe your abundance. He said if you're trying to win something, it's key to focus on the abundance in your life. Now, this is what he reflected on, what he said. Did a friend make you dinner? A coworker bring you coffee? By noticing these everyday windfalls, I like that word, you'll attract more financial successes. And if you want to prove that it works, he said when he started wanting to do his own talk show, he made steps to tape some segments in his own home. And because he was thinking about doing his own show, a producer from Vancouver contacted him about creating a show that would air in Canada. I think it's sort of like fake it until you make it, pretend. And he said also, place a notebook on your nightstand, and each night before you go to bed, jot down all the financially positive things that happened throughout your day. And the reason, he said, writing them down forces you to give even more attention to those wonderful financial blessings. I had a girlfriend, needed a car repaired. A neighbor came over. She was quoted $3,000 in repairs. A neighbor fixed it for about $100. Amazing. Take ownership of these experiences. Note that the more attention you pay to the positive, the more you're going to attract yourself of what you want. You want to empower yourself to attract even more good. And Michael's example was, he said, a prize winner in Canada twice won a free home from a charity lottery drive. And he said, how did he do it? Well, he said he won. The guy said, I won a first time, figured out I could win a second one. Can you imagine winning two homes? Woohoo! Well, know always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're a rich human being. Focus on the positive. Empower yourself. Be industrious with your life. Take charge. A new year? Well, the next time I'm on the air with you, it's going to be 2013. And I know the adventures of life are going to be absolutely phenomenal. It's not the end of a world. It's the beginning of a new one. This is Donna Siebel. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous and safe New Year's Eve. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.